American National Red Cross presents... The Roll Call for 1940. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we present the greatest combination of personalities ever assembled on a single radio program. Here is Mr. Clifton Fadiman of Information, please, to tell you about it.
To aid the work of keeping your Red Cross ready, famous men and women from all parts of the nation join in bringing you a great radio program, a roll call of all Americans, a reminder to all to join the American Red Cross. Tonight you will hear the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
The Chairman of the American National Red Cross, Norman H. Davis.
John Charles Thomas.
Yasha Heifetz.
Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Bob Hope.
Amos and Andy.
Burns and Allen.
Gene Herschel.
Connie Boswell.
Paul Whiteman and his orchestra.
Don Wilson.
Howard Barlow.
Conducting a concert orchestra composed of members of the American Federation of Musicians of New York.
David Brickman.
Conducting a choir of 16 voices and a concert orchestra provided by the Hollywood Musicians Association.
Thank you, Harry Van Zyl. Besides these artists and musicians all contributing their services, three of the world's greatest networks and hundreds of radio stations have turned over, free of all costs, their time and facilities for 60 minutes of the greatest star-studded and important entertainment ever to be heard over the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is typical American support for a worthy and just cause. But now, on with the show. From New York, Howard Barlow and the concert orchestra opened by playing Autumn and Winter by Glazunov. Special United States Ambassador for several years, Norman H. Davis was appointed chairman of the American Red Cross in 1937. This evening, he's at the White House, standing by to introduce the President of the United States. Now it's my pleasure to present to you the chairman of the American Red Cross, the Honorable Norman H. Davis, speaking from the White House in Washington, D.C.
In opening the annual roll call of the American Red Cross, I wish to express my appreciation to all those who are participating in tonight's Red Cross parade. Their cooperation eloquently demonstrates the democratic, voluntary, and national character of the Red Cross. It is another gratifying proof of what the Red Cross means to all of us. For more than half a century, the Red Cross in America has been serving those who are suffering, whether from accidents, pestilence, disaster, or war. It is in keeping with the character and tradition of Americans to want to aid those who are in distress. Today, it may be your neighbor who needs the Red Cross. Tomorrow, it may be any of us. Representing all, it serves all. Whenever and wherever there's a job for the Red Cross to do, it can be found on the front lines leading the sympathetic hand of the American people. Acknowledging no frontiers, it swings into action wherever there is distress. When bombs began to burst over Europe, the American Red Cross started sending relief in the form of medicines, hospital supplies, and warm clothing. Our only thought was to alleviate suffering and despair. On the home front, we've continued to fight accidents, disease, and the suffering caused by disaster. Perhaps in your own community tonight, the Red Cross is answering some emergency, great or small. Your membership dollars may even now be saving the life of someone dear to you. Our roll call this year takes on a special significance in that having just completed a year of increased activity, we're now faced with the task of meeting unusual demands in the immediate future. Our aim is to renew all old memberships and to recruit millions of new members. Within the next few days, you'll be given an opportunity to join. We do not feel it necessary or fitting to beg you to do so. We know you will want to join because it is from the moral and material support of the American people that your Red Cross carries on. A membership is not a donation, but an investment in a better world. The work which your Red Cross is carrying on day and night throughout the year carries its own appeal. But to me, the Red Cross has a still deeper meaning. We look today upon a world torn asunder by war, by black clouds of greed and envy, of intolerance and persecution, of suspicion, mistrust, and hatred. But now and again the clouds part, and there appears a gleaming light of hope. It comes from a blood-red cross upon a field of pure white. It is the symbol which all men love and respect. It is the flag of an organization which knows not greed or intolerance or hatred. It seeks nothing for itself, only the privilege of serving others. Under its standard of mercy and human kindness can gather all men of goodwill of all nationalities. Surely it is the hope of a troubled world. Let us therefore respond this year to the call of the Red Cross in overwhelming numbers. It is our privilege to have tonight as our chief guest and speaker, America's most distinguished citizen. I have the honor and very great pleasure of presenting the Honorable Franklin D. Roosevelt, the President of the United States and the President of the American Red Cross. Mr. President.
Chairman Davis, friends of the Red Cross in every part of the country, I have gladly accepted the invitation to say a few words on this program, which launches the annual roll call of the American Red Cross. I join in this appeal because the President of the United States also is President of the American Red Cross. Moreover, I believe with heart and soul that all of us Americans should do everything we can to support an organization of such real importance to our people. Knowledge of our individual responsibility toward the national and international services of the Red Cross is always essential to the success of these ministrations of mercy. We ought to bear in mind that during the roll call, the Red Cross does not ask us merely to make a donation. It invites us also to join, to take our place in the legion of men and women of goodwill who make the Red Cross one of our strongest shields against the forces of destruction. Forces of destruction, whether activated by nature or by man. We must realize that regardless of race or creed or color, The Red Cross deeply matters to us as individuals in a world darkened by conflict and misery. The Red Cross stands upon a remarkable record of service to humanity. Founded here in 1881 and chartered by the Congress in 1905 as our National Voluntary Relief Agency, the American Red Cross has played a conspicuous part in relieving the distress that has followed every national disaster. The growth of its services to the nation has been in direct proportion to the growing confidence of the American people in its ability to respond swiftly and competently to emergency situations of every kind. This year, the Red Cross is being called upon to meet an unusual number of appeals for aid from every quarter. And because our American Red Cross is a member of the large family of Red Cross societies who in time of war join with the neutral International Red Cross in Geneva in the alleviation of suffering caused by war, the conflict in Europe has brought added responsibilities to our national organization. We of this fortunate country are already doing much in the name of humanity on behalf of the unfortunate victims of this unhappy war. I am sure you would not want it otherwise. And when the time comes for the Red Cross to ask your special help to continue this work, I am confident of your sympathetic response. Equally important, however, is the year-in and year-out battle of our own Red Cross to preserve life and health here at home. The psychology of hate and of destruction, so rampant today, makes it too easy to forget that while war is not a human necessity, neither are the preventable deaths which harm a nation at peace. It is essential, therefore, that the Red Cross continue its efforts to reduce the number of avoidable accidents and illnesses which yearly take the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans. To make this possible, we must keep our Red Cross prepared through memberships and contributions to meet any and all emergencies, whether at home or abroad. The annual roll call of the American Red Cross begins today. Today, Armistice Day. But there can be no armistice in our war against need and against human suffering. We have been told many times that it is our Red Cross, that it is our voluntary agency for the relief and prevention of suffering of our neighbors at home and abroad, and perhaps of ourselves. I would like to underscore the truth of that statement. It is our Red Cross, yours and mine. It needs our warm-hearted, generous, typically American support. And therefore, both as chief executive and as a fellow citizen, I urge you all to join during the roll call, to join now and to do your bit.
Thank you, Mr. President.
We continue our radio roll call by calling on the Dean of American Popular Music, Paul Whiteman.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are very happy to be doing our part in the 1940 Red Cross Roll. Bandmaster in the United States Navy, and one of the most popular tunes with all the bands in those days were the American Patrol. So we're going to give it a little 1939 treatment
and swing the American patrol. Take it away.
Say, operator. Oh, operator, hurry. I'm calling my hometown, Eagle Knob.
What number, please?
Oh, have they got another telephone there now? Well, I'm calling my mother.
One moment, please. Here's your party. Hello?
Oh, hi, Mom. This is Bob.
Who?
Your son, Bob. Bob Hope. You know, the Pepsodent program. Thanks for the memory.
Oh, yes, I remember. Still as flat as ever. Hello, son.
Say, Mom, turn on your radio in a hurry. I have it. Turn it on.
I have it on, son. It ain't Tuesday night. I'm listening to the Red Cross program.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I and President Roosevelt are on the same broadcast.
Oh, yeah? Who's getting top billing?
Well, he is, Mom. Anyway, forget the billing. This is for the Red Cross. I'm doing this for nothing.
You mean you're laying free eggs?
Now, wait a minute. Say, Mom, did you get the $100 check I sent you this week?
It was only $10, son. But don't worry, we raised it.
I'm sorry. Your time is up.
Now, wait a minute. Well, money is no object to me, operator. This is Bob Hope, and I'm talking to my mother. Listen, Mom, here's who we got on the Hollywood end of this show. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Gene Herschold, Amos and Andy, Burns and Allen, and...
Come on, Bob. It's time for the show.
That was Don Wilson, Mom. You know him.
Oh, sure. Laughing boy.
That's right. Say, listen to who else we got on this program. Connie Boswell, David Brookman, his orchestra and chorus. And I'm on it too, Mom. Isn't it wonderful?
Wonderful. It's unbelievable. How did you get on the same show with them?
Shh, Mom. They couldn't get Georgie Jessel. Oh.
Hurry up, Bob. Hurry up. We're on the air.
Oh, we got to go now, Mom. So long. Sweet woman, my mother.
Operator.
Say, operator, on that call I just placed Eagle Knob.
Yes?
Reverse the charges, please.
Proceedings in Hollywood open with David Brookman and his orchestra.
Thank you.
hope, and charity. This is a broadcast in the interest of true charity. With profound hope, we bring you Bob Faith. I mean, with profound faithfulness, we bring you charity. Bob. No, faith now, sure, and in all charity, we bring you Bob Hope.
Ah, thanks, Don. Isn't that Don Wilson swell? And I see he's wearing the new paunch waist. And what an announcer. We the people speak. Yes, sir, he's six delicious men rolled into one. But Don and I are old friends from way back. When we first knew each other, he only had one chin and I only had one joke.
Ah, that's right, Bob. But as the years passed, I picked up a few new chins.
Yeah. And I picked up a few new sponsors with the same joke. But I'm glad to be on the air for the Red Cross, ladies and gentlemen. They were always so nice to me during my vaudeville days. I used to do a nice 15-minute act, 5 minutes on the stage and 10 minutes to get out of town. And then came radio. Isn't radio wonderful? Well, I can remember when Rochester was between Albany and Buffalo. And it's exciting being in radio, too. The other day on Hollywood Boulevard, somebody dropped a joke down an open manhole and three comedians drowned. I can swim. But it's lots of fun writing the show, doing it on the air, and then sending the scripts to Information Please. I got a great spot on the radio, too, on Tuesday nights, right between Fibber McGee and the Doghouse. But my sponsor's very happy. On November the 1st, the sales caught up with his blood pressure. I didn't understand that myself. When I first started working for him, he used to write me a weekly letter telling me what he thought of the show and my performance. I didn't know who sent them, and I kept turning them over to the police. But my tailor liked my last couple of shows so much, he says for my next suit, he'll put in his own label. There goes the label. But radio's great, and I'm glad I had the time to come over and be on this program, but Paramount always lets me go out for a smoke between pictures. They're paying me a nice loud salary each week, a nice loud salary, a roaring 20. And I did so well in my last picture, The Cat and the Canary, that they gave me a new dressing room. It isn't exactly a dressing room. It's a large bathrobe with a window. And it has a pocket in case I have visitors. Paramount is always lending me out. Yesterday, they lent me to a meat market opening. It was a good job, but I had to give my agent 3 avocados and a bag of potatoes. Inside gag. I wish I'd have left it in there. That's Hollywood, though. Hollywood, that's a little settlement that sprung up around Daryl Zanuck. But I love California. It's just wonderful sitting there in California in the evening watching the sun and the ham and eggs go down at the same time. And where else will an earthquake shake the snow off the sun porch while you're drowning in the living room? Shouldn't say that because you never hear of rain out here. The Chamber of Commerce is pretty careful. They even stopped carrier pigeons leaving California and wiped the dew off their backs. But everything is bigger and better out here in Hollywood. I turned on the faucet this morning and the Bremen came out. Really, anything can happen here in Hollywood. Where else can you find a mild climate than Orson Welles? But you can say what you want about Hollywood, can't you? And now, friends, Hollywood's favorite little songstress is with us here tonight. I know you'll be happy to hear her sing Goodnight, My Beautiful. A spotlight for Miss Connie Boswell.
Goodnight, my beautiful. Just being with you is so beautiful. And tearing away from your arms is not easy to do. Good night, my wonderful. There's nobody who is wonderful. Each moment with you is like dreaming a dream come true. So hold me close to you love is all I have to waken for tomorrow. Good night, my beautiful. The night will be lonely but beautiful when I am alone with my wonderful dreams of you. Good night, my wonderful. There's nobody who is so wonderful. Each moment with you is like living a dream come true. So hold me close to you. Parting is such sweet sorrow. Your love is all I have to waken for tomorrow. Good night, my beautiful. The night will be lonely but beautiful when I am alone with my wonderful dreams of you. Wonderful one, kiss me.
Tonight's program, opened by President Roosevelt and coming to you from New York, Detroit, and Hollywood, is presented in honor of the roll call of the American Red Cross for 1940. The radio facilities for tonight's program have been donated by the networks and stations to which you are listening. The great artists appearing on this program have given generously and freely of their time to help in this great cause. Here's Bob Hope again to introduce two more leading personalities of the entertainment world.
Oh, thank you, Don. Well, friends, there isn't one of you listening who hasn't heard these two lovable characters many times. For years, they've been coming into your homes five nights a week. As their announcer, Bill Hay, would say, here they are.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen?
How you do, ladies and gentlemen? We is always happy and honored to appear on the American Red Cross program. And while tonight you have many people to entertain you during this hour, we thought that, with your permission, we would take the brief time allotted us to tell you a few things about the Red Cross, which happens to be very dear to our hearts.
There's one thing about the Red Cross that we must all realize, and that is that no racial nor language boundaries exist wherever there is suffering. We have all experienced many catastrophes, or at least have read of them, here in our own country. When they strike, we can assure you that the Red Cross is among the first on the scene of disaster for the purpose of alleviating suffering to humanity. For the many thousands and thousands of people who have received aid from this organization, it is known to them as the Angel of Mercy. For many years, as you may know, the Red Cross has served in all parts of the world wherever a human being might be suffering.
The purpose of this program tonight is to ask the people, everybody in this country, to join the American National Red Cross.
some of us who live in certain parts of this country very seldom experience disaster. For those who live away and apart from any disaster, it's kind of hard to realize what suffering really exists. If only one person is killed or wounded in some way, that one person means as much to some mother and father as the whole disaster means to the entire world. It's the old story of hitting home. There is one great satisfaction among us all, knowing that in times of disaster, we who are unable to get there are represented by the American Red Cross. And now it comes to the time when we would like to earnestly ask our listeners to join this wonderful organization. The American Red Cross is maintained by all of us. This year, we have facts before us showing that the need for the Red Cross funds are greater than ever before. And that is why we urge you all to become members. We have personally heretofore responded to the American Red Cross roll call, but knowing their actual needs at this time, by having the facts before us now, we ask all of our friends and listeners to give more than ever before. It's been awfully nice talking to you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Good night, folks.
Thank you, Amos and Andy. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, I happen to know just how sincere these boys are in their interest in the Red Cross roll call. I have just learned from the Red Cross this afternoon that they have written the sponsors of their Campbell Soup program asking that their entire salary for this week be turned over to the Red Cross. In just a moment, our program will continue. We pause now for station identification. Next on the Red Cross Roll Call of Entertainment tonight is a selection by one of the world's greatest violinists, Yasha Heifetz, who will be heard from Manhattan. Mr. Heifetz will introduce his solo number from New York.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to play for you tonight on Wings of Song by Mendelssohn. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heifetz. We return you now to Hollywood.
Well, here we are back in Hollywood, the only place in the world where there are more actors than there are people. Really, in order to be anybody out here, you really have to put up a front. In fact, the other day I saw a movie star walk into the Brown Derby with a top hat, white tie, and a 7-year contract printed on his dress shirt. I felt awfully silly. I'm really getting to be known out here, though, since my picture work. I can't go anywhere without some of my fans recognizing me, the big bullies. But seriously, I do like Hollywood. The nuttiest things can happen, and here are two of the nuttiest things that ever happened in Hollywood. Those two zanies of the Heinz Honey and Almond program, George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Thank you very, very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd really love to do some little thing, but we were called in here the last minute and we're not prepared.
I am. If my brother were here, I could do something by myself, but my brother were here.
My brother isn't here,
so I guess I have to do something alone, huh?
As I said...
My poor brother's been working very hard to prepare for the Red Cross.
He knows about loans.
Yes.
How does your brother know about loans?
He mows them.
he mows loans?
Yeah, with a loan mower.
With a loan mower. Which brother is that? The one who's married?
No, the one who's working, the barber.
Oh, the barber.
Yeah. The panhandler.
Oh, he's a panhandler.
Yeah,
he
he's
handles
a barber,
pans.
Yeah.
He's a barber. I see.
He's the one who fell off the ironing board and broke his neck.
He fell off an ironing board and broke his neck?
Yes, he was pressing his pants and he forgot to take them off.
Gracie, did you go to school to become an imbecile?
No, I just picked it up. I've always been smart.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that.
When I went to school, my teacher was in my class for 5 years.
Well, anyway, Gracie, let's forget your brother.
Forget him? Why, he would have been one of the greatest football players Harvard ever had, except for one thing.
What was that?
He went to Yale.
Your brother went to Yale?
Yeah, but he played for Harvard.
I never heard of such thing. If he went to Yale, what made him play for Harvard?
Yale.
I don't blame Yale.
Well, they're still talking about the time my brother broke up the game way back in 1939.
Oh, yes. That's way back as far as today.
Yeah. Oh, everything depended on my brother.
Is that so?
Yes. The score was nothing to nothing at the end of the game. And then they started to play. The center snapped the ball back.
Wait a minute, just a minute. Gracie, look, if the score was nothing to nothing at the end of the game, and then they started to play?
Oh, well, I forgot to tell you. It was the front end.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
The front end. And, what was your brother, a quarterback?
Quarterback? He was an amateur. He never played for money.
Was he half full or on the line?
On the line? Oh, when my brother's half full, he can't even stand on his feet.
And, he's the one that's the barber.
Sure, he lost his job milking cows.
Oh, had a job milking cows?
Yeah, but he was fired on account of Mr. Phillips, who was nearsighted.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
How did he get into this? Who was Mr. Phillips?
My brother's boss who fired him.
Let me understand this. Your brother lost his job milking cows because his boss was nearsighted?
My brother was left-handed.
Well, that simplifies everything.
Yeah. Well, you see what happened was, it was a dark night and my brother and his boss were milking the same cow at the same time.
They were milking the same cow at the same time?
Yes, but neither one knew that the other was on the other side of the cow.
I see. Sort of a dark night.
Well, it was so dark even the cow didn't know it.
Then what happened?
Well, my brother and his boss both put their hands under the cow's crankcase, and they
under the cow's crankcase?
Yes, and they got hold of each other's fingers.
Well, sounds very interesting.
Yes, and no matter how hard they squeezed, they couldn't seem to get any milk.
Well, I can't understand that.
My brother couldn't understand it either. But after 2 hours, he got very suspicious.
No.
Yes. You see, my brother had squeezed thousands of cows, but this was the first time a cow ever squeezed back.
Good night, Al.
Lacey. Well, friends, according to the latest information I have, which I hope is more reliable than the information my broker usually gives me, we are going to bounce now to another city for the next feature. So I now turn you over to Bouncing Don Wilson, who in turn is in charge of turning over the program.
Thanks, Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, a favorite artist on the Ford Sunday evening hour, America's celebrated baritone, John Charles Thomas, is waiting to sing for you in the East. We take you now to Detroit.
Dear friends, Mr. Hollis and I are very glad to be with you on this program. And we're going to give you two songs. First, I Heard a Forest Praying by Peter DeRose, and A Little Song of Life by our old friend Albert Hay Malott. All right, Carol.
I heard a forest praying. The trees were cold and bare. What was the forest saying? Let me repeat its prayer. Trees make a playground for children. Trees hide a lover's lane. Trees have been kind to the old folk. Trees have not lived in vain. Man turned the fields and the forest into a battlefield grim. Man took a tree, an innocent tree, and made a cross.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Once again now, back to Hollywood.
Friends, here we are back in California, and standing here beside me is a man who is truly one of the kindliest and best-loved men in Hollywood. In fact, in all America. The benevolent roles he portrays on the screen, the sympathetic, unselfish character he brings you in radio as Dr. Christian, well, that's really the man himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to introduce to you Mr. Gene Herschelt.
neighbors. None of us need to think twice about helping when human suffering or human need is close by at our doorstep. Why, we gladly provide shelter for the friend whose house has burned down, bandage even the smallest scratch on the finger of a neighbor's child. We want to answer the cries of a drowning swimmer as naturally as a mother answers the cries of a frightened or unhappy infant. We give and hardly even count the cost when disaster brings human suffering close to home. Yet in a world as large and as troubled as the world we live in today, this instinctive help that one human being gives to his neighbor is not enough. It's hard for most of us to know the desperate need that may exist even in our own city. And in times of disaster, the lucky cannot help the unlucky when so many are stricken. That is why we say to all of you, keep your Red Cross ready. The Red Cross can give in your behalf the assistance that you would so gladly give if you were there yourself, and that you may someday need. It is the means whereby all men and women can share in the necessary work of helping their fellow men. Join tomorrow or Monday. You will find a Red Cross volunteer worker ready with a membership card for you. Even if you are not asked, be sure that nothing keeps you from joining at the earliest possible moment. Respond to human needs through the agency of your Red Cross, just as you would respond yourself if the victim of misfortune or accident or disaster lay suffering at your feet. Join again if you were a member last year. Join this year if you have never belonged before. No one who understands the meaning of the Red Cross or the great work that the Red Cross accomplishes can hesitate to join promptly and to give generously.
Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America. Fish, fly.
Who is the man who has dared tell the truth about Hollywood in his weekly broadcast?
Why, we're in Pomona and the high seas.
Who has made love recklessly to all the leading sirens of the screen? Give up? Why, it's that four-bell favorite, that man about town, the biggest little man in America, Charlie McCarthy. And here he is, reunited with his pal of the Chase and Sanborn Hour, Edgar the Great Bergen.
Hello, Mr. Bergen.
Hello, Charlie. Hello.
Say, is my Red Cross pin on straight?
Why, yes, it is, yes.
Good. Now, if I only had some bandages.
Oh, what do you need bandages for? You're not hurt, are you?
No, not exactly, but, you know, those Red Cross nurses, they're pretty, you know, and I just thought...
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, there are no nurses in the studio.
No nurses?
No nurses.
No nurses. Oh, not even a female intern?
No.
Well, then forget the bandages.
Yeah. Charlie, I think you've missed the real purpose of our visit here.
Have I?
Yes. Your thought should not be how pretty the nurses are.
No.
But the great good that the Red Cross does for humanity.
How true.
It is a privilege to answer this roll call.
Uh-huh.
We should feel signally honored to be in a position to do our share to help such a worthy cause.
Very well put, Mr. Bergen.
Yes, thank you, Charlie.
Say, Mr. Bergen, what's that book you got there under your arm? Is it about Red Cross?
No, Charlie. This happens to be a book on optometry.
Optometry?
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes.
What you doing with that?
Well, I'm very much interested in the subject, and, lately I've been studying it.
Do tell.
Yeah.
Studying?
Yes.
Oh, what a horrible word. Are you serious?
Yes, I am, very.
Hmm.
Yes, I even have an ophthalmoscope with me.
You got what were you, Mr. Bergen?
An ophthalmoscope.
No.
Yeah.
Well, how do you work one of those where do you get an op... what is an op... what'd you say? What do I mean?
You probably mean the ophthalmoscope.
How do you expect me to say it if you get it all?
Well, you see, ophthalmology...
Yes.
It's a Greek word.
Is it really?
Yes, yes. Ophthalmos and logia.
Uh-huh.
Meaning the study of eyes.
Uh-huh. Well, the gadget looks a little like a strufa.
A what?
A strufa.
What's a strufa?
A strufa?
Yes.
A strufa comes from a Latin word.
Yes.
From the Latin word yaha. Which means to squirt without splashing.
Yes.
Which means nothing.
Yes. Charlie, instead of joking about optometry,
uh-huh,
it might do you more good to study the subject.
Oh, silly boy, silly boy. You won't find me wearing my eyes out studying.
Now, there's a thought.
What?
Maybe I should examine your eyes.
Yeah, oh, no, no, no. I left myself open that time.
Now, just let me...
No, no,
listen, Charlie.
No, 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 no.
I just want you to look at...
No,
no, no. Not going to talk me into glasses. All right, Charlie. How many people do you think are going without glasses who really need them?
Oh, I don't know. About half as many as you're going to say.
No. Tell me, Charlie, about your eyes.
Uh-huh.
Do you see spots?
Well,
I say, do you see spots?
Spots?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes. Yes, I do. I really do, too.
You do see spots?
Yes.
Oh-ho.
That is, when I look at spots.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I do.
Well, how close do you hold the book to your eyes when you're reading?
At arm's length?
At arm's length.
Yeah. The further, the better.
I see. Well, then you do need glasses.
Well, either that or a longer arm. I don't know. My right eye is a little weak. That's why I wear this molecule.
Yes, yes. Well, an examination with the ophthalmoscope will clear that all up.
That's comforting.
Yes. Now, I would like to have you look in this little hole right here in the ophthalmoscope.
Uh-huh. In that little hole there?
Yes.
That itchy-weechy hole there?
Yes, yes. Now, look right in there.
Uh-huh.
Right in there.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You're going to squirt water at me.
No, no. I just want you to look in there.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Just sort of peek in.
That's right, peek in.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Just peek in?
That's right.
Oh, I know. Bathing girls?
No. No. Will you please remember, this is an examination.
I'm so sorry. I'm such a cad.
Now, will you just look in the little round hole?
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Uh-huh. I can't see a darn thing.
You can't?
Maybe I should put a penny in.
No, no. I'm trying to study your eyes.
Oh, I see.
Now, hold still.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hold still.
Can you see my poo-poo?
Yes. Now, will you please open wide? Real wide. No, no, no. Open your eyes, simpleton.
Well, why didn't you say my eyes?
Well, I did.
No, you didn't.
All right, now, hold still.
Why didn't you say what you...
Quiet, please, quiet.
You didn't say my eyes.
All right, all right. Then. Yes.
Why don't you say what you mean?
Quiet, please.
I'm not a mind reader. Is that all?
It's quiet.
Yeah.
Have you anything more to say?
No, sir.
All right.
Just say what you mean. That's all. All right. Whole thing is ridiculous. Imagine me with glasses.
Well, there are so many styles, Charlie, and very smart ones, too.
Uh-huh.
One is sure to become you.
Is that so?
Yes. What kind would you like?
Oh, I don't know. Something I could see through?
Yes, I know. Do you want nose glasses?
No, I want eyeglasses.
As I know. You know, Charlie, maybe Oxfords might be very becoming on you.
B-B-B-B.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oxfords?
Yes.
How about a low heel model?
Yes.
With a tortoise shell?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I've ordered some tortoise rim glasses.
Yeah?
But they're late in arriving.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
They're late?
Yes.
Well, you know how turtles are.
Yes. All right, forget the glasses.
I knew I'd talk him out of it.
David Brookman, most recently famed for his colorful music on Texaco Star Theater, has arranged in the stirring Brookman manner a tone poem commemorating Armistice Day and dedicated to the annual roll call of the Red Cross. Mr. Brookman conducts his orchestra and choir in his own American Rhapsody. At Independence Hall, Philadelphia, hangs the historic Liberty Bell inscribed with these words.
Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with inherent and inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Rather for us to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Closing.
Oh, thank you, Don. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost time to say goodnight, and we hope with all our hearts you liked our show. And in the name of the Red Cross and in the name of humanity, I ask every one of you to be sure to become a Red Cross member. Millions of new members are necessary if the work of the Red Cross abroad and at home is to be carried on successfully. Every citizen should join because your memberships are the sole support of the regular Red Cross program of fighting the suffering caused by disease, accident, and disaster. Do your part, won't you? Thanks.
The Red Cross wishes to thank all concerned for the generosity which made this program possible. The artists who contributed their services, the networks and stations for their cooperation and facilities, and Young and Rubicam who produced this program for the Red Cross. This is Don Wilson saying goodnight for all of us. And remember, this year join the Red Cross yourself through your local Red Cross chapter. Display your Red Cross button and sticker to remind others to join also. Only in this way can you and your fellow Americans keep your Red Cross ready. Good night.